got milk? Those white mustached figures, which could as easily be Garfield or Kermit the Frog, or Donovan McNabb, or the rock group Kiss, or even Britney Spears, have been peeking out of magazine pages at us since 1994. The ad implies that not only is milk good for you, it's good for you regardless of who you are, or perhaps because you are who you are. If celebrities drink milk, so should you. There must be something to it if it's been around for 11 years, I guess. It's too bad that the folks in Plymouth Colony didn't have an ad agency working for them back then, that they didn't come up with something quite so catchy. Oh, now wait a minute. We have been celebrating Thanksgiving officially as a nation for 142 years, haven't we? Ever since President Lincoln declared it back in 1863. And while the first Thanksgiving probably didn't take place in 1621, but rather in July of 1623, at least as the pilgrims would have understood a day of Thanksgiving, there's no question that they did celebrate the end of the starving time by feasting with their Native American neighbors. I think that if they had a slogan, it would be this: got blessings? Got blessings? Blessings, it appears, are even better for you than milk. When you try to define blessings, you see just how broad and how embracive the concept is. Blessings, our Puritan ancestors would say, represent the providence of God. Everything in our world, including us and even our desire to give thanks, is the result of God's providence, God's care for creation. Got blessings? The author of Deuteronomy asks the people of Israel just that. Got blessings? He asks because the people had forgotten the source of their existence, their land, their prosperity, and their freedom. Like so many of our contemporaries, they came to believe that who they were, what they had, how they lived, were the result of their own effort. The Deuteronomist reminds the people, "Remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you power to get wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your ancestors, as he is doing today." The Israelites got a short lesson in their history and God's benevolent care for them, and rendered thanks as they renewed their relationship. Got blessings? The story of the 10 lepers in Luke's gospel demonstrates how far and how fast we can fall when we forget we have blessings. 10 lepers came to Jesus for healing. All received the gift, but only one, and him a Samaritan, returns to give thanks. What we see here is the message that there is more to life, there is more to relationship than getting what we want and then heading off on our merry way. Like Israel, the lepers have been given a gift which should have not only awakened gratitude, thanksgiving in them, but also brought them into closer relationship with God. And that relationship always implies a change in both the way that we think and in the way we act. Got blessings? The pilgrims had been through a great hardship. Half of their company, including the governor, died in that first long winter. Far from home, without the comfort even of their minister, for John Robinson died before he could come to Plymouth, they still continued to thank God for the gift of the new land and the gift of the new life they had received. As William Bradford, who became governor, wrote in Of Plymouth Plantation, "Thus they found the Lord to be with them in all their ways, and to bless their outgoings and incomings, for which let his holy name have the praise forever to all posterity." Here Bradford echoes the wise words of Puritan preacher Thomas Goodwin, who said, "Those blessings are sweetest that are won with prayers and worn with thanks." They persevered in prayer and in work, and God blessed both, and they gave thanks. Thanksgiving is a consistent theme in Scripture. We certainly see that today. The core ritual action of the Christian faith is called the Eucharist, which means thanksgiving. There seems to be a theme emerging here. We need to remember that we've been blessed and then give thanks. The 14th century spiritual writer Meister Eckhart said, "If the only prayer you ever pray is thanks, that will be sufficient." Imagine my surprise when I opened the newspaper this morning and read the funnies, and there it was in one of the comic strips. The comic strips are quoting Meister Eckhart. There is a God. I think it's the first time I've ever seen a mystic on the funny pages. But it's true. And another mystic, most people don't realize he was, but he was, his name was Fred Rogers, once said in my hearing that the best prayer is, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." We do this, we thank, not because God might have hurt feelings if we don't, or even because God might get a bit ticked off. We don't do it for that reason. Nor does God need our thanks. As the old prayer says, even our desire to thank you is itself your gift. No. We do this because realizing our blessedness and giving thanks for it is ultimately good for us. Dennis Prager wrote a book entitled Happiness is a Serious Problem. He says something that I think makes perfect sense, especially in light of what we've been exploring. "There is a secret to happiness," Prager writes, "and it is gratitude. All happy people are grateful, and ungrateful people cannot be happy. We tend to think that it is being unhappy that leads people to complain. Excuse me. But it is truer to say that it is complaining that leads people to becoming unhappy. Become grateful, and you will become a much happier person." This kind of happiness is what Paul is trying to tell the church at Corinth about when he explains the ministry of thanksgiving and glory. It also seems to be exactly what biblical scholar Patrick Miller is saying in his article in Praise and Thanksgiving in Theology Today. Miller writes, "In a world that assumes the status is quo, that things have to be the way they are, and that we must not assume too much about improving them, the doxologies of God's people are fundamental indicators that wonders have not ceased, that possibilities not yet dreamt of will happen, and that hope is the authentic stance. All this is ridiculous, of course, unless one has seen the wonders of God in the past, the overthrow of the mighty and the setting free of an oppressed people, the gift of life in the face of death, fertility where there is barrenness. Resurrection defies all human categories, so Christians gather every Sunday to give praise to God for the impossible wonder that God raised Christ from the dead. In its act of doxology, the church says to the world that all our presumptions about what can happen are overruled by the wonderful impossibilities that God's power and freedom have wrought." You see, there is a transformative power to thanksgiving. When we give thanks, when we open ourselves to gratitude, we are drawn out of ourselves, out of the status quo, and into the fullness of God's life, which is the real status. And thus Paul tells the church at Corinth, "You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Blessings beget blessings, and thanksgiving is the proper response to all of it." Got blessings? Edward Winslow wrote a letter back to England describing life in the new Plymouth colony. It appears in a little booklet that was published. It's called Mort's Relation. And it gives us what appears to be the closest description of what the 19th century began describing as the first Thanksgiving. Having written about the hardship, he then turns to write about the plenty, describing the varieties of fish and wildlife and fruits and vegetables that the New World offered to the colonists. I particularly enjoyed him talking about the lobsters and how at one point they were so poor that all they could do was offer someone a lobster and some water. I could be offered lobster. He also talked about the eels and the oysters and the fowl, and he just went on and on and on. And then he even talked about all the varieties of plums that were so tasty and so wonderful. And then he finishes by saying, "And although it be not always so plentiful as it was at this time with us, yet, by the goodness of God, we are so far from want that we often wish you partakers of our plenty." Thanksgiving leads to generosity. The needs of the saints will be met, and the overflow of thanksgiving goes to God. Thanksgiving calls us to remember what we have. Thanksgiving calls us to remember the needs of others and to seek to supply them, whether those needs be material or spiritual. To be truly blessed moves us to share what we have so that others may know what we know and be blessed as we are blessed. Got blessings? Share them. It may not be as catchy as the milk ad, but you know, I think there's a certain ring to "got blessings." I go so far as to say that it gets the job done. After all, even if we only start counting Thanksgiving with that long ago one back in July of 1623, we're still talking about 382 years worth of them. The point, however, is that Thanksgiving isn't about the celebration. It's about a way of living in which we align ourselves with God's life and God's love every day, and that we show it forth. God blessings is for more than the fourth Thursday in November. It's every day. It's every day that we realize that God has given us an indescribable gift, life, all that goes with it, this wondrous world, and the grace of relationship with God given to us in a wondrous way through the living Christ. There is more to be thankful for than one day a year can even handle. No, it takes a lifetime. It takes an eternity. Got blessings? You bet. Thank God. And now, brothers and sisters, as there is time remaining, and as God has prospered you, so now let us give. Our offerings, as usual, on these special days go for the benefit of several different benevolent organizations. As God has prospered you, so share.